This is the season of You Talk Show, where putting yourself first is always in season. Life is bound to suck at times, and that is why I made this space where you can learn tips and tricks to navigate the suck. In this space, we honor and grow through seasons of singleness, seasons of sadness, seasons of celebration, seasons of hope, and also seasons of nope. So go ahead, crack open a silt with your new BFF and life coach, Megan herself, me, and let's dive into today's show. Welcome to today's episode of the Season of You Talk Show. Today is a very special episode. It is a special upload, and this episode is in honor of my nephew, Banner, who passed away 1 year ago today, December 31st. So I wanted to do an episode all on my grief journey for the past year, because I think that if I can share some of the things I did to lessen my regret and to lessen my sadness and ways that would interrupt me not being present, and it could save you some pain and some tears and regret, then that is something I want to give to you. And just some backstory. My nephew was my favorite human on the planet. He had a rare disease called ROHAD. It's something that 1 in 73 million people get. So very, very rare. There were only 100 cases in the world when he got diagnosed with it. And it was just a slow but rapid progression of the disease. And I was living away for half of his life in California or in Las Vegas. And I missed a large part of his life, and, you know, that could eat me with regret. And however, though, a year later, we are here. It's been 1 year, which I have no idea how, and I have no regret. I have overpouring amounts of love, but I don't have regret, and I truly believe it's because the last 7 months of his life, I had so much intention with my time that I do not feel any regret. And I think that if you are in the process of maybe losing a loved one, or if you are going through this process of someone you know is steadily declining and you don't even want to think about it, so you don't do anything, and then they die and you're like, well, shit, it's really here and it really happened. I hope that these little things that I have done can potentially help you. And that's the only reason why I'm sharing this, because let me tell you, it still guts me. Yes, I did not realize he was actually dead until about 3 months ago. So that's why I cannot imagine how it's been a year. But we're going to start with when I came back. So I moved back to Rhode Island, and it was 7 months before he passed away. I spent every day at his house. After work, I would go to his house, and I would just spend time with him, and I would just tell him that I loved him. And because, again, like, I never knew when the last time I would say it would be. So my first thing is carve out time. Carve out time that you can intentionally sit with this person and just be present. Whether they are sleeping, whether they don't feel good, whether they are on a bunch of machines, they know you are there. So carve out time. And I don't want you to act as if this time is something that you need to do. Every time you walk in, say, I get to do this today. I get to be here. I get to tell them I love them. And that small perspective shift will make such a large difference. And I know for me, when you're over there day and day, it kind of just feels like, okay, well, we're clearly doing good. I've been here every day for 4 months. Like, we're doing good. And then you just kind of get into the habit. I challenge you, if you have someone who is declining, to never treat it like a habit. Every day, act like you won the fucking lottery and that you get to walk in that door, hold their leg, and tell them that you love them. Because soon, that day will not be here. And if you know in your soul that you walked in and you gave them everything you had every day and you put all your bullshit aside and you were present with them, even if it's for 10, 15, 20 minutes, if you are present, if you are laughing, then it will make the world of a difference. And I remember I showed my therapist this video of me singing and dancing with my nephew, and now he was bedridden, so you know, we were just dancing on the couch, we were having a party. And she said, Megan, she said, you are dancing with him, you are singing with him, you are playing with him. And in that moment, I am sure he could forget some pain. And so if you have the ability to show up for 20 minutes and help your loved one not feel pain, whether you tell them a joke, whether you play a game, whether you make them laugh, whether you share some exciting times, whether you bring them a meal, whether you feed them a meal, whatever it is where the outside world doesn't exist for 15 to 20 intentional minutes, when I tell you, it will change the after part a lot. Now, all of this, again, I am just speaking strictly on my experience. So every experience is unique. Everyone's grief journey is so different. But like I said, if you can identify with any part of this podcast here today and apply it to help prepare you for what is about to come, then it's worth it. Okay, actually, while I like get myself together, I'm actually gonna go get a book. As you enter the final decline, it was really important for me to have a plan. And this is something I was really, really adamant about in therapy. I was like, listen, I need a plan. When he is going down, I need to know what I can do to make myself useful and to make it make him comfortable. So I said, I need a plan. And so me and my therapist worked out a plan. So if you have a therapist, ask them, let's make a plan. And when this happens, can I reach out? Like, what's going to happen? What's going to go down? But for me, the main thing that we did was in, you know, his final days, we had a scare and then he was alive for a day and a half after, and then he passed away. But in that day and a half time frame, I knew that I needed to connect him with a place. Now, if your loved one is still alive, ask them where they want to meet you. Don't make it up yourself because that's really hard, okay? All I could think about when in this moment when I was trying to do this with him was the zoo gift shop. That's the only thing I could think about. And I was like, I don't know why the only thing I can think about is I want to meet him at the zoo gift shop. I'm so confused, but that's where it's going to be. So if your loved one is still alive, just ask them and say, where can we go to meet each other? And come up with that place together and describe it in every aspect. So in your mind, when you miss them, you can go right there and they will be there waiting for you. This was a big deal. Something else I did in like the final days was I looked around me, and the day before it was a full moon and the moon was so big. It was like literally the largest moon I've ever seen. And I was at the beach and it was rising and it was so large. And so for some reason, in the entire journey, I just associated him with the moon. Oh, I also have a moon lamp with his face on it. I left it in the other room, but I associated him with the moon. And so whenever I want to see him, I look at the moon and I look for the moon. And I don't know if this is good. I don't know if I would condone this as advice, but since the moon was so large when he passed away, I asked God, I said, and I wasn't really believing in God then. And I was like, listen, let me know you're safe by showing me the moon. Let me know you've made it to heaven. Let me know you've done all those things. I didn't see the motherfucking moon for a week and a half. And let me tell you, I scoured the sky. It was cloudy. It's December. It was snowy. Like, it was just not working in my favor. But once I finally saw it, I like had this deepest exhale. So pick a place and look around you and associate things with that person. And there was one thing I wanted to remember forever. And that was how my hand felt. Sorry, I'm trying so hard not to cry. It's how my hand felt in his hair. And I did it for hours one day because I don't want to forget that feeling. It was my favorite feeling on planet Earth, really. And if there's anything you want to remember, go ahead and do that. On repeat, take videos of it, just so you have it, because time flies, and the more memories you have on video, although painful, you will be grateful that you have that. So another thing I did before he passed away was, I went to Barnes & Noble. And you'll see, I got this on 12/30/20. So his last night on this beautiful planet of Earth, I traced his hand and I put it in here. But more importantly, I read him the same book over and over and over. And I highly recommend you do this long before I did. And I wish I did this sooner. But have something tangible, like a book, that you can keep with you, that you did with them. Maybe you do Sudoku with them if they're an adult. Maybe you read this magazine. Maybe you read a book, a short story, a poem. Whatever it is, find something and do it on repeat, okay? Because that, when they go away, will be something that you get to hold onto so dearly. So I highly recommend you get a book or something or a poem or a game or something that you can do on repeat with them in their final days so that you can prepare yourself and you can have it to hold when you miss them. Another thing is when you are intentional with your time and you are present, there are moments where you might be called to show the fuck up. And that happened to me. And it was a moment that honestly changed my life. And something in my mind was like, Megan, this isn't it. He's not done. Literally, I don't know what it was, but something in my mind said, this ain't it. Go up by his head and be calm. So everyone's arriving, right? Because they think that this is his final goodbye. And everyone comes in and they're all crying and they can't believe it. Because let me tell you, it's fucking sad, right? No matter who it is, no matter what it is. And so they're coming in crying. They're all distraught because they think Banner is dying right now. And something in me, and if you ever get this feeling, if you ever get this nudge, I honestly think this is what made me think God existed, was this moment. But I went by his head and I just started talking to him, talking normal, talking slow, telling jokes, petting his hair, because like I said, it's my favorite thing to do, and just was so calm. And I have been known to not be a calm person, okay? A cop comes behind me and my legs turn to jello, okay? Like I defaulted to anxious in so many of my previous life experiences, but in this one, I was so calm. I don't know why, but if you get the inkling to be calm, Because when you have control over you, you can be more intentional. And the entire theme of this podcast is to be intentional with your time and your time with them, so that when they do leave us and they do move on, you have the peace of mind of knowing that you were at peace and you had intention in those last moments. So I read him this book, so I was super calm, and then he woke back up, and then for the final days, he was on a morphine drip, and then his body gave out at 1 a.m. on the 31st. And he was just an amazing dude. Like, I watched him relearn how to speak after having a stroke. What? He just, like, was in a vegetative state, and then one day he said a word, and then hours later he was saying full sentences. Like, an amazing, amazing dude. But I have his cards literally falling out of everywhere. I have some here. I stole them all from the place, so if anybody's looking for them, I definitely have them. What I did was I decided to write down all of the things that happened. And this was a way of me processing what happened. Now, this took me like a few days to be able to be like, oh my God, what? Okay, this really did happen. So I said, I got a phone call telling me that it was time. I drove to the house, and the second I got out of the car, I twisted my ankle and it cracked. I hobbled into the house, threw my coat off, and stood at the foot of Banner's bed. He was just getting hooked back up to his vent, which was breathing for him. His numbers returned to semi-normal levels. I was rubbing his head and his eyes opened. He was alert. Lindsay fed him a crushed up popsicle and he was very happy. Nurse Jamie gave him some liquids and wet his mouth, and he was loving it. So much he kept sticking his tongue out. After family came in and out of the room, Banner kept pushing them away and gave some more keep comfy meds. Once he was calm, his number started dropping on the vent. I looked at the doctor, worried. She told me to look at him. Okay, this part is really important. I'm just so happy I read this. Now, this doctor specializes in children dying. I know that sounds awful, and I never understood it until it takes a very special person to do this. She said to me, this is very important. If you are struggling with anybody who is on machines and they're in their final moments, please, please, please listen to this. She told me to look at him and not the numbers. She said, you know him better than the numbers. Fact. So I went in and I documented the whole thing. It's it's a lot of pages long. Then I went into the things that Banner taught me. And then I added pictures into the books of things that he taught me, things that I love, things that I will never forget. I mean, and then I went into how I was scared this day. Life advice not to run from my problems. Then I went into the things he loved, which was the Hulk. Then I went into it's okay to love your Nana more than me. This is to my children. Never be afraid to love is another thing he taught me. Always be kind and know that someone is going, behind what someone's going through. And yeah, so I just went through and I documented the whole thing. And I'm so glad I did, because I actually would have forgotten. In that moment, I looked at the doctor so scared because his numbers were so low. And she looked at me and she said, look at him and not the numbers. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't listen, and I wish I did. So if you are in this situation, please look at your loved one and fuck the numbers, because that's got nothing to do with you, okay? So look at them and not the numbers, because you know them better than you know the numbers, which is a fact because I don't know anything about the numbers, truly. I know, like, when I used to sit in the room with them, what they had to be at, and they weren't there. So, naturally, it's normal to be scared. And so then he passed away, and I wrote that. I wrote everything about them. So if you are in a situation where your loved one just passed away or recently passed away, please, please, please write down everything about the event. Write down everything about them. Write down everything you loved about them. Write down everything they taught you so you can look back at that and you can keep that for you. Now, I think something that is important is that this is a very selfish journey. And it's selfish because they're gone and it's just you and the relationship you had with them that you want to keep alive and that you want to cherish in your heart. So the things you do are going to have to be selfish. So moving forward, we had his birthday. We did a balloon release. They were biodegradable. But again, still gut-wrenching. And then, you know, we're going through, and I like to think of grief like this. When you start off grieving, you have a piece of driftwood, and you're just going, getting crashed by a wave, crashed by a wave, crashed by a wave, and you just have this tiny piece of driftwood. And over time, you're in the ocean longer. You collect a piece of wood. You collect another piece of wood. You collect another piece of wood. And all of a sudden, you're still getting hit by waves, but now you have four pieces of wood, and you can stand on them, and the waves don't seem so big. Then over time, you collect more and more and more, and you just build yourself a bigger boat. The grief doesn't go away. You are still in the ocean of grief. You are just more prepared, and you are more ready for the grief than you were before. And that's kind of the best way I have to describe grief in the cycles it comes in. Because let me tell you, I still get sad. I still miss this dude more than anyone, okay? He was my actual favorite human on planet Earth. And again, my boat is just bigger. The waves are still huge. And my auntie heart still aches. But I know that there are so many amazing times that we had. And I know that the pain that he was in is not bigger than him being here, because I would never want to be in that pain and I wouldn't want to be here. And so I just have to think of it like that. But all of that to say, grief is like you start off with a piece of driftwood, and over time you're able to build yourself a boat. The waves don't get smaller. Your boat just gets bigger. And so this leads me up until now, which are holidays and anniversaries without them and how to honor them now that they are no longer here. And for me, I've been really, really trying to think about what I'm going to do to honor him on his anniversary and on Christmas and on his birthday. And so I've been thinking. And one, there is no right or wrong way to do this. I would just like to say that first. And if people tell you not to be sad, tell them to go fuck themselves, because this is a sad thing, okay? This is a very sad thing. So, and nobody understands the relationship with you had with them. And that's what's so unique about grief, is that everyone grieves so uniquely because their relationship was so different. And so for Christmas and to honor him, I decided that I would leave Christmas early. So there was a family gathering and I was like, you know what? I'm out. I need to go do something to honor Banner. And I went home. I took two bites out of Christmas cookies I had. I put them on a plate and I put milk on the plate and I put for Banner to share with Auntie. We sat down and we watched a movie he would have loved. And that is how I honored him. I created space, time, and a tangible thing to honor him in his memory. Now, Banner was 6. If your loved one was 40, maybe you'd have a shot of whiskey. Maybe you would, you know, go play bingo. I don't know. Whatever is relevant to you and your loved one, that's what you need to do. But honor them in a way that is both time. So you give them time, but you also give them your full attention. You do not get distracted, because again, it's the intention that you are putting aside time to honor your loved one. Okay? That is the time to honor them. And, you know, you can be a little sad, but just think about it as if they were there with you. And that to me is a big one. If he was here with me, this is what I would want to do. And so that's what I did. Now, for his anniversary, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think that I'm going to go to the same place where I saw the moon. So I'm going to go to the ocean. I'm going to read the book. And I think I'm going to just... this is the hard part. It's so... I think I need to be in the moment to let it speak to me. Because I don't want to plan it out. I want him to show me what he wants me to do. And so if you are trying to honor them, think about them. Think about what they would want to do with you. You know what I'm going to do for his anniversary? I'm going to go to the fucking zoo gift shop. I'm so glad that we were all here together for this, because in my head, that is where I said I would meet him. So I'm going to the zoo. I guess that's where I'm going. I'm going to the zoo. Okay, so glad we all could do this together. I'm going to the zoo. And I'm gonna buy something at the zoo gift shop, and that's where he's gonna be. Because in my head, it is so clear that that's where I said I would meet him, okay? So glad we could do that. Again, let it come to you. It can be small, it can be big, but remember, you doing something outward isn't gonna help you inward. So think about, what can you do for you? What can you do that you had special with them that maybe no one else knows about? What can you do then? Like me and Banner, we always used to watch movies together. So that's why I default to movies. But if you always went on long drives, maybe you go on long drives and play the music that they loved and you honor them. No right or wrong way to do it. Now for his birthday, I'm real hype about his birthday, because what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna get a single serve piece of cake, and I'm gonna eat that cake every single year on his birthday. And when I have kids, we all gonna be eating the cake. Because again, I never want his memory to die, because he might have, but the love that I have for this little dude will not. So again, think about ways, both pre, during, and post, that you can honor them in a way that feels natural, organic, and familiar. That's the word I've been looking for. Familiar. What can you do that is familiar to you and to them that would make you both smile? Honoring them doesn't have to be big and throwing this gala. It just has to be familiar and make you smile. And so if you are going through a grief journey, if you are experiencing sadness, if you are about to lose someone you love, first off, I want to let you know I am so sorry. And I also want to let you know that I will never know how you are feeling right now, because everyone's grief journey is so unique and so different. And I just want to let you know that my heart is with you and that I'm so sorry that you have to go through this. Be intentional. Understand that intention and control of your emotions will bring you so much peace in the long run. So much peace. And, oh, there's this really bird, loud bird. And in this moment, I hope that you are able to realize that you can prepare for this in the best way possible for you. So if it is getting a book, if it is playing a game, if it is watching a movie, what can you do now with them that after you'll be so grateful you did? Because you can always go back to do that and default. I always know that I can say, I love you like the swaying grass. I love you like the trees. I love you like the sound of branches blowing in the breeze. You make me want to somersault and leap up in the air. You make me want to sing and dance and boogie everywhere. Look up and see the silver moon. It's shining just for you. Everything makes music if you really want it to. So listen to the lovely song of the shining stars above and remember that we can all dance to the music that we love. You make my heart sing joyfully with everything you do. Out of all the things I love most, the very best is you. I love you, buddy. I know that I can do that. So what can you do? What can you put in place that you can tangibly hold, that you can always go back to? Because again, I think something that's not talked about enough, this is selfish. This is for you because they will not be here. So what can you do to self-soothe yourself in the process? Now, again, this might be all over the place. I might have to cut some things here and there, but I did my very best to bring you my grief journey to hopefully shed light and to let you know that it might be dark and twisty right now, but the only thing that fucking matters is that you show them intention and time and love, because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters. So this episode is in loving memory of my nephew. 12/31/20. I love him so much every single day, and I will never stop loving him. So if you are grieving and you have been told that you shouldn't grieve like this or you shouldn't grieve like that, no. Listen, you grieve however you need to grieve, because nobody had that relationship with that person that you are grieving. Because if you are able to grieve, that means you are given the privilege of love. And that is something that not everyone gets. So grieving is a privilege. It means you loved someone so deeply that you are saddened to your core and shaken by their departure. And love is an amazing thing. It also hurts a lot. But being able to love someone is one of the greatest gifts, and you were given that gift. So to everyone struggling, and to everyone grieving, and to everyone just trying to get the fuck through it, you are not alone. There's so many of us out here grieving too, and I just want to give you my love to let you know that you can do this. I love you, buddy. I love you, Banner. I love you, man. And truthfully, I'll never be the same. But he also makes me the best person I can be every single day, even when he's not here. So don't think that the relationship ends after they pass away. The relationship still continues. If you look for them and if you ask them to join you on this journey, they will be here. It's not over. So I hope you have the most magical day you can. And just know that I'm here with you, grieving right alongside of you. And it doesn't get easier. Our boat just gets bigger. All right, everyone, have a wonderful day. But for now, Megan herself,